right, let's get to the magic hat. It's the magic hat.
Yeah, baby. That's what I've been waiting for.
Bring it on. Basically, a bunch of topics.
Yeah.
And we have no idea where the sports gods want us to go.
Okay.
Until Swag pulls it out of his magic hat.
Hocus pocus. Where are you?
Now you see me. Now you don't.
It's magic.
It's simply what it is. It's magic. We don't know what's going to come out of this hat.
Where is that rabbit?
Abracadabra, MFers. Let's do the magic hat.
The only thing this hat's good for is the trash can.
Oh, ho, ho, it's
hey, welcome back in. It's magic hat time. It is that time. Never know what the hat's going to provide us. We'll get back into the Halliburton villain stuff. I think he's perfect. Also, the conundrum with this game. We'll talk about that. We got some football stuff to get into today. But let's see what the Magic Hat will provide us with show topics.
All right. First topic is scary twins.
Finally got pulled. That's been in there a long time.
That's some old magic right
here. Oh, no, it's still in there.
It's still in there. I'm pretty sure it's still in there. This might have been a month ago.
This is a long time ago. This is an old hat.
Some of you may have heard this already, but if you haven't, so there is a set of twins that are slightly older. I want to say they're in their 40s, maybe their 50s. They've been around in Australia for a long time, and they're famous for doing things where they do interviews and they try to talk exactly the same, saying the same words at the same time. Now, you can tell that sometimes they're trying too hard. It doesn't always work.
Yeah.
But for the most part, they have this act down where when they get interviewed by a news channel, they can talk in sync together. And so is it still up there, Swag, in the same area? The same page?
I can play it if you don't see it.
I see it here. Okay. Here it is. Here are the scary twins in Australia.
And one guy, he was up there with our mum, and he went up there, and
he was coming back down towards us,
and he goes, run, he's got a gun. and our hearts started to pound, and I said, well, mum, where's mum? And poor mum was stuck up there, but apparently our brave mum, she goes, are you all right?
Because he had all blood all over his face.
And he goes, I'll shoot you. She goes, hey, I'm here to help.
And mum distracted him to make him look the other way. And he looked the other way. And mum ran into the bush
behind the fence.
Fence.
And the guy goes to her, I'll find you and I'll shoot you. All I was thinking about when we were running,
I hope he doesn't fire.
Run, he's got a gun.
Sounds like an echo when you listen to it. The video's even trippier because they legitimately are twins.
They're identical.
And it went viral when it came out. And it freaked everybody out. There's something weird going on here. The Australian twins with the same voice saying the same thing. But it was funny. We were just having a conversation the other day after the show. And Jeff Rust, that bastard, came up after and said, hey, are you guys ever going to play this audio? It's been on your... We told him to stay off our pages. Stay off our drop page,
Rust. Why did he want to know what was on our page?
He said he scrolls over there to see what we pulled for the day. He wants to steal our audio for his own show, probably, you
Him
bastard.
And Buck do this. They'll either hear it on the show or they'll go to the page because Buck will play something and I'll hear it on primetime and they'll play it. And I went, that's our show.
That's
and
our audio.
I know a tell because the clip will end and sometimes a certain person on this show forgets to cut out the last half second of something.
There's a little bit of a boop at the end of it. Yeah, a little
and Isaac
word
and Suk are very familiar with who that person is. And so Buck will play it, and Isaac will go, oh, why'd that happen? Yeah. And Buck goes, oh, I don't know.
Well, I didn't pull it. It wasn't my audio. I just found it over there. So there you go, Russ. Now we can delete it from our page.
No, I want to pull the run. He's got a gun.
He's got a gun.
That part's pretty funny.
That's a good drop right there.
All right, what's the next one in the old magic hat?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, look, I hate to do this because it's my guy. It has to be my guy because that's football. Brock Purdy got paid. We talked about that a couple different times.
Yes.
Did you see any of his press conference?
I did not. No, I saw some of the written quotes, but I didn't watch any of it.
He basically suggested that this wasn't about me getting paid. This is about us as a team having flexibility.
Look at that, man. He's taking the team route. Look at him. The new Tom Brady is what they call him.
How much was his contract?
That's pennies, 50, dude.
$53 million a year on average.
Nothing.
$265 million, $181 million guaranteed. Yeah, not about me getting paid at all.
He came back on the cheap, man. He's trying to help his team out.
It's just a ridiculous statement. Like, I get what he's saying. He's trying to say, oh, I created some flexibility so we could actually surround the team. It's like, dude, if you really cared about flexibility and making the whole team great,
could have been 45, could have been 40, could have been $38 million a year.
I don't begrudge you for taking what you took.
You do you, boo.
You could have gotten a little more, probably. Yeah.
There's a little bit of truth to both of this, because if he wanted to be a B and hold out for 60, I don't think the Niners, maybe they would have given it to him, I don't know. But he could have made this much more difficult on them, I guess, as an organization. It seems like they were both in lockstep. The Niners, I think, made a good first offer that him and his agent seemed fair, and they were like, all right, that's a good place to start. Let's just work out the details now. But it is funny when you hear guys say that. Like, you're going to be making north of $50 million a year. You're not playing on the cheap.
So we want to make sure that we're working together with our organization and setting everybody up for success. It's not just about me to get all the money as much as I can, but also, like, hey, let's surround yourself with a great team and players and a great locker room. And all those things matter, too. So we definitely talked about that.
I drive a Toyota Tacoma, all right? I'm out farming. I don't need all the money in the world. I just want to make enough to make ends meet over here, okay?
God.
Has anybody ever had a bigger payday in sports, like a pay raise?
No, because he's the last pick in that draft.
I mean, he was making sub $1 million.
You can hate him and not like him at all. That's a Disney movie.
It's remarkable.
How is it not? I mean, it's crazy. Oh, yeah. I think that no matter what team he's playing for, in any scenario.
He was the last pick in the draft, and he just signed a $200 million extension.
That's a great question. Is that the biggest pay raise?
So he went, let me look up what his numbers were.
I guess,
now going to make more than $50 million a year. We know that. I think he has one more year left on that rookie deal
initially.
Didn't
he make like $2 million his first whatever years in the league?
His base salary, yeah, I mean, it's been nothing. I can look up the summary here.
No, the base salary was less than $1 million.
Yeah, for sure it was.
I don't know if there was.
He probably got past two then with bonuses.
Yeah, I mean,
there's got to be some incentives in that deal.
Yeah, now it's all going up because he got a big signing bonus. But I believe his contract breakdown for this year was it was going to be basically $1 million.
How much did Michael Block make in that major championship that Dirt hates him for?
Probably a lot of money.
I mean, that dude was making nothing.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's not to $200 million, but he went from nothing to a lot in a pretty quick amount of time.
Yeah.
This is saying, now, I don't know if all the details are out on SpotTrack. I've been trying to find most of them, that his base salary this year is going to be $1
million. Yeah.
His
contract kicks in next year?
He's getting a $40 million signing bonus.
Oh, nice.
So they're giving him 41 in cash. Yeah,
so that's the other part.
They're giving him a lot of cash the next couple of years.
I mean, if they're smart, they'll do what you've always been bringing up with the Jalen Hurts stuff. Front load it, give the cash. Like, get as much into that signing bonus as you can to make his cap hit not.
So this
impactful.
Is fascinating. I was waiting for these details to come out. Have you guys seen these yet? So
no.
His
no, I haven't.
So his cap hit this year is, I don't know if this was it before or afterwards, but it's now $9.1 million.
Okay. That has to be after because his
has to be after because he was on a seventh round pick. No, so he's getting like an $8 million cash signing bonus, and he's getting $40 million, I think, on top of that. His cap hit in 2026 is $24.7 million.
Smelling a little hurtsy.
And the third year of the deal, it's $30.8 million,
dude.
And they got
very
a potential
hurt-y.
Out in this deal after 2028. So his cap hit before the Niners can even get out of the deal.
This is a brilliant deal.
It doesn't even go above $30 million. That is an unbelievable contract.
I didn't know any of those details. There was stuff that was leaking that it might be something similar.
The back end of it shoots up, but you can restructure by the time you get there if things are looking and he's playing at a high level. Like 28, 29, 30, it goes 57, 72, 64 million cap hit. But the salary cap also is going up. And if he's playing at a high level, you will restructure and give him more cash in the last 3 years of that deal.
Well, also, like, even though that's going to go higher, if he's playing well enough to get past the cut point, what's the quarterback going to be making at that point?
Yeah, exactly.
So you might even look at that high number and be like, right now, that's crazy.
Yeah.
But by that point, you might go, yeah, he's literally in the middle of the pack.
Yeah, so that's a fair deal.
That's an amazing setup. There was a lot of people indicating this might have been the best contract the Niners have created in their Shanahan Lynch era. If that contract, what you're giving me is right, and I believe it is because you're looking at SpotTrack,
That was brilliant.
So the cash he's taking home this year, $41 million. The cash next year is $46.9 million. And the cash in 2027 is $27.2 million.
I mean, you'd want
million.
That as a person anyway, right?
It's you just up front money.
About 53 per year. Give me front-loaded
well,
cash.
Well, he's getting 53 part of the year. Yeah, but he's getting it up front and then making a little bit less throughout the rest of the year. The percentage, the last thing on this, the percentage of cap that he's going to make, the league cap, 3.2 this year, 8% next year, 9% in 2027. And then the Niners can get out of it in 2028.
We got more magic in the hat. We'll get to it. Next, Swag, what's the next round of magic saying?
R.I.P. to memorable men.
Man. But yeah, R.I.P. Jim Irsay. Yeah. That was random yesterday. Not as like the craziest story I've ever heard.
No. I didn't know he was that ill.
I don't think anybody did. The way even like a Pat McAfee who worked for him and knew him really, really well. He may have had some indication, but they said he passed away peacefully.
Yeah.
But he's only 65.
Not very old.
He's interesting. And doing a little more reading on him, because I'm not sitting there like, oh, I want to read about all the owners. I want to know them.
Yeah.
We've largely just mentioned him in passing of like, hey, man, got another Dewey. Hey, yeah. He's got pills in the back of his truck.
Yeah.
We talk about the warts of a human. And I think yesterday what I learned, not that I didn't know this, is there's always more to people than just the one or two public things you hear. By all account, it sounds like may have actually legitimately just been a dude born into money, but was like a good dude who had his fair share of demons.
I mean, we all have our demons. His were obviously very public over the years. I had the same reaction yesterday. I did not know a lot about him other than the times he had been in trouble and the funny things that he had said over the years. Where he became a bit of a punching bag. And so when somebody passes away, you see all these thoughts and memories come in. McAfee, no matter how you feel about him, I thought had a great thing on Twitter last night. I'm not going to read the entire thing. It was very long, but about the impact that Irsay had and the conversations that they had and the help that he gave him in launching his career and all the different things that they worked on and collaborated together. There was one that I read that basically somebody said, just random stories over the years on Jim Irsay. He made it a point to give every Colts employee a birthday card with a fresh, crisp $100 bill every time it was their birthday. He'd walk around Indy and give random homeless people wads of cash from time to time. So if he had stuff in his pocket. When he was younger and knowing what obviously his future was going to be within the organization, coming from a very rich family and the ownership situation, he made it a point when he was in high school to essentially work every job with the team because he wanted to know how every little facet of the team operated. And that included doing the team's laundry for a couple. Like he came up the ranks the right way, if you will, in a way that I think people can respect, even though there was a lot of help, obviously, from his family situation. So he seemed like a genuinely good dude who cared about other people. He did a lot, gave a ton of money away, donated to a lot of great causes. And it's unfortunate that sometimes we highlight the negative side of people without really showcasing some of the positives.
Just want to read a couple tweets legendarily from Jim Irsay, who is pretty famously on Twitter. Doesn't often an owner is on Twitter. He tweeted in 2012, I hired the Gimp from Pulp Fiction 2. From Pulp Fiction to clean my reading glasses. He lives in a trapdoor in my owner's suite, but also does my grocery shopping. He says, in Miami, I'm playing Angry Birds in a hotel room. One of them suckers hopped out my phone and bit my dog Howard right in the ass. There's too much caffeine. In 2010, he tweeted, I know it's a sin, but I have a crush on Sarah Palin's feet.
Hey, you got to be out and open and honest on your kinks, man.
And famously in 2013, we cannot forget, he responded to a First Take segment and tweeted, and on First Take, the woman that preceded Stephen A., how dare you pretend to know me? I don't know your name, and I don't care. If my black mother Dorothy was still alive, you'd be in some big hot water. You are mean and ugly. You're a nothing burger. R.I.P. Jim Irsay.
R.I.P. Jim Irsay, man. 65's way too young.
All right, what do we got
next? All right,
next?
One more. Is it time to believe?
This is, look, I feel like I know what the response to this is going to be, but the news coming out today, George Kirby's coming back from the M's.
Oh,
he's coming back for the M's.
This is the year!
They're getting the workhorse right-hander back.
This is the year!
They got a four-gamer coming up against Houston. They just beat the White Sox in the getaway day.
Wow, big win over the White Sox.
I'm just saying, man, like at what point do we start to believe that maybe...
When they win a couple of playoff series. When they win a couple of playoffs.
I didn't say anything about World Series. I said,
What are we believing?
When did the division make the playoffs?
We've seen them win the division and make the playoffs. Well, actually, I don't know if they won the division 2 years ago.
I don't know if they did either.
I don't think they did. But they made the playoffs, and they won a playoff series a couple of years ago, and then they lost to the Astros. So what do we believe in what? They're a legitimate contender?
Yeah.
When they win a couple of playoff series.
All right.
When the Mariners show up in the ALCS, I will grant you that they are a legitimate playoff contender. It's funny because the Knicks had that heartbreaking loss last night. One of our P1s texted in, a 37-year-old Knicks fan. It's like, this is honestly on me for believing, like buying in, like I should have known better. And I feel that way as a Duck fan, and we'll get to that at some point. Of like, every time in a season when I get to the point of thinking like, oh my God, is this the year? Is it gonna? The second I get to that point is when they lose, and I would hope Mariner fan would be the same way. Like you enjoy it, enjoy
the
ride. It's great news.
Third best record in the American League.
They're having a great start.
Tigers and Yankees,
but yes. They have the worst run differential of any division leader in baseball.
It's a +27. They're winning a lot of one run games.
Yeah,
a lot of one run games.
Yeah.
A lot of one. So they're off to a great start. The division is very winnable, as we all said at the start of the year. Didn't they have a 10-game division lead last year that they blew?
They did.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So
it's only 3.5. Keep it under 10, and maybe you'll just be able to hold
it in the single digits, and maybe you'll stay on your toes, and you won't blow it like the Knicks did last
they
night.
Need more pressure. I think that's what we're learning about the Mariners. They need more pressure.
They can't ease up on themselves.
This over that 54 winning percentage, too. They're at 58.
58, man. Give them an extension.
Fine,
Poto
don't
extension time.
You know what? When Kirby comes back and throws a gem, you're going to regret that statement. You're going to regret it.
I'll eat crow when they're in the ALCS.